Good morning. My name is Jennifer, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the ARKA Third Quarter 2015 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Thank you. I will now like to turn the call over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. Hello, everyone. Today, ARKA Continental will discuss its results for the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2015, per the earnings release which was issued this morning. The report and a replay of today's webcast can be accessed through the Investor Relations website at arcacontal.com. It's now my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterey are Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Gutierrez, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Emilio Marcos, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manuel Gutierrez, Director of Corporate Planning, as well as the entire Investor Relations team. And with that, it's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff for the company's presentation. Please go ahead, Pancho.
Thank you, Melanie, and thanks to everyone for joining us this morning to discuss our results for the third quarter. I would like to begin by briefly commenting on the transaction that we recently closed in Peru. In order to drive growth and create value in our business, ARKA Continental formed an alliance with Corporación Lindley, the sole Coca-Cola bottler in Peru. This significant milestone will enable us to strengthen the competitiveness and leadership of our products in the region, and as always, under a framework of sustainability and social responsibility. Within this important operation, ARKA Continental acquired from the Lindley family the majority of common shares issued by Corporación Lindley. Additionally, as part of the deal, we announced our intention to acquire from the Lindley family its 2.03% stake of investment shares, known as Acciones de Inversión at 89 U.S. cents per share. Furthermore, once this transaction was closed, we initiated the process to obtain our internal corporate approvals with the purpose of acquiring, in the short term, all investment shares currently outstanding in the Peruvian Stock Exchange at the same price of 89 U.S. cents per share. The Lindley family will become a shareholder of ARKA Continental by subscribing new shares that will be issued through a capital increase once all the customary internal and external approvals are obtained. We are proud and honored to have the Lindley family as our partners. Their invaluable experience and the bottling business for more than 100 years and their deep understanding of Peru and the Andean region will provide us with unique insights into the Peruvian business landscape to further develop our business in Latin America. We want to thank the Coca-Cola Company for their trust and support in this transaction, which is key for our future, giving us access to nearly 30 million consumers and providing geographic integration to our operation in South America. I'm looking forward to a successful interchange of best practices in which our local strengths will be combined with world-class operations, bringing our company to a higher level of performance while opening new growth possibilities. In ARKA Continental, we are committed to meeting the highest standards of corporate governance and ethics, while complying with all legal and regulatory requirements in all the countries where we operate. We have always acted in the best interest of our shareholders, maintaining direct and open dialogue with all our stakeholders. In such respect, we would like to emphasize that the structure of this transaction with the Lindley family fully complies with the legislations and regulations of Peru. The challenges recently made by some minority holders of non-voting investment shares of Corporación Lindley do not have any merits and are being contested to through the appropriate channels. This deal, of which we are very proud, is completely closed, and in fact, our third quarter earnings, which we are presenting today, reflect the full month of September of Corporación Lindley. Let me shift gears to our performance. I am very pleased to report that our company delivered another quarter of sound top and bottom line results, overcoming a still volatile business environment. Arca Continental once again posted strong volume, value, and profit growth across all our operating divisions. Consolidated revenues in the third quarter reached close to 20.7 billion pesos, up 26% from the third quarter of last year. We are capitalizing on the initial recovery in consumer spending in Mexico, on the back of better macroeconomic indicators, such as retail sales, remittances, and low inflation. Total consolidated volume grew 12.7% to reach 397 million unit cases, driven by a strong 11% rise in sparkling, 31% in water, and 18% in still beverage segments. This quarter, we continue our positive trend and extended our value share gains across all non-alcoholic ready-to-drink beverages. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter rose 25.8%, reaching 4.7 billion pesos, representing a margin of 22.7%. Notably, this was the 18th consecutive quarter of EBITDA growth since the merger of Arca Continental. We continue to achieve these consistent high-quality results during a period of still mixed economic recovery, which underlines our ability to execute our strategic plans in alignment with Coca-Cola 2020 vision. Moreover, I also would like to highlight two recent announcements that really reinforces our long-term commitment to South America: the opening of a new plant in Pucusana, Peru, and the beginning of construction of a new plant in Corrientes in the northeast of Argentina. These investments, totaling $270 million, will expand our operating capacity with state-of-the-art technology to produce both sparkling and still beverages, enabling significant efficiencies while continuing improving our environmental performance, as well as optimizing processes to meet the highest quality standards in the industry. I will now turn the call over to Arturo to take you through more of the details on the performance of our operation. Please, Arturo.
Thank you, Pancho, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Let's review the performance across our operations in more detail, beginning with North America. In the third quarter, we continued to demonstrate the strength of our beverage business, delivering strong volume growth of 6.8%, excluding jug water, supported by a stronger consumer environment and improved weather conditions in our franchise territories. We also saw improvement in several key macro indicators, such as employment, remittances, and inflation. Employment has been rising at a fast pace, setting the formal job creation number at well over 1 million, up 5.5% from the previous year. Remittances sent by Mexicans living in the U.S. have also started to show signs of recovery. In the first 8 months of the year, remittances in peso terms are now more than 24% higher than last year. Inflation in Mexico has fallen below historical levels, running under 3%. All these elements are contributing to a gradual but steady recovery of the consumption environment in Mexico. We see the positive impact of this gradual recovery in channels such as entertainment, on-premise, and at work, which have all been growing at a faster rate. North America's net revenues increased 11.7% in the quarter to nearly 14 billion pesos. Overall, average price per case in Mexico, excluding jug water, increased 3.9% year-on-year to 49.30 pesos. Transactions in Mexico grew 5.4%, representing close to 1.7 billion transactions with consumers every day. During the third quarter, EBITDA in North America rose 13%, to 3.5 billion pesos, representing a margin of 25.2% and expansion of 30 basis points. Our ability to selectively execute price increases and to effectively manage discounts and promotions across our territories, supported by the rollout of our go-to-market model, were key to accomplish these outstanding results. It is also worth mentioning that we are deploying our standardized execution model, which we call ACT, across all of our business units. This will take our execution to the next level while leveraging segmentation, service models, and the latest IT tools. This quarter, we launched two new products, Limón y Nada and Naranja y Nada, under the Del Valle brand, strengthening our portfolio of sparkling categories. Powerade continues with a positive trend. Volume grew 33.6% in the quarter, supported by the launch of Powerade Zero, which generated 11% of the marginal sales volume. I would like to highlight the 120th anniversary of our Topo Chico mineral water brand. As part of the celebrations, Topo Chico underwent changes in its identity, retaining the essence of the brand, like its colors, history, and values, but transforming it into a fresher and simpler look in order to appeal to a younger market. We also revived a few vintage bottle designs, and we gathered over 10,000 customers and consumers in Monterey for a music concert. Topo Chico sustained its momentum up double digits. Export sales rose 20.4% in the third quarter, confirming its leadership position in convenience and grocery stores across certain U.S. markets. Turning to our vending machine business, volume sales and transactions achieved a strong recovery, particularly in the at-work channel. Beverage volume in the third quarter grew 11.6%. Our Santa Clara dairy business sustained its positive trend as we rapidly expanded distribution of its high-quality product portfolio to all of our territories. We are accelerating introduction of coolers to ensure cold milk execution. We are on track to reach our goal to install over 5,000 coolers before the end of this year. Notably, Arca Continental remains as Mexico's top bottle in the most loved beverage brand scores, improving results from previous year and having Monterey as second place in brand love score worldwide. Our snacks operation in North America achieved excellent organic top-line results. Bocados delivered high single-digit sales growth, driven mainly by growth in tortilla chips and potato chips. Bocados gained volume and value, outpacing the salty snack industry in Mexico as a result of our attractive price-value proposition and an improved execution at the point of sale. We continue innovating our snack product portfolio in order to meet changing lifestyle trends. In the quarter, we launched our new line of Better For You products under our Palma brand. All final preparations are being made for a new production line at our Obregón Sonora plant. We are placing greater emphasis on the fast-developing tortilla chip segment to expand product coverage in our western territories. Our Wise Snacks business in the U.S. posted single-digit sales growth driven by direct store delivery volume increase in the South, Pennsylvania, and Mid-Atlantic regions. The new kettle chip production line has contributed to expand our potato chip portfolio. The renovated image of kettle potato chips hit the market in August, offering consumers a new look, an improved product, and a reduced fat version containing 40% less fat than regular potato chips. In Alexa, our snack business in Ecuador delivered high single-digit revenue growth driven by a change in sales mix favoring corn products. EBITDA rose double-digit as a result of efficiencies in corn, oil, and packaging material, as well as optimization in our distribution cost. Let me turn to our South America region, where we continue making steady and sequential progress. Volume in the region was up 3.7% in the quarter, excluding Peru, driven by solid 3.8% growth in sparkling and 20% in purified water. Total revenues in the quarter increased 46.3%, not including Peru, after a strong 12.6% growth in the same quarter of last year, reaching 5.7 billion pesos. We are winning and executing with excellence at the point of sale and maximizing the value of our beverage portfolio. Through our flexible price pack architecture and our strong mix of returnable presentations, EBITDA for the quarter rose 68.1%. that is not including Peru, to 1.1 billion pesos, representing a margin of 18.2%, an expansion of 240 basis points. Despite the prolonged uncertainty of the macroeconomic environment in Argentina, our beverage business delivered another quarter of volume growth, up 2.4%, driven by a 26% growth in water and an outstanding 150% in still beverage categories. These results were supported by our improved point-of-sale execution and increased cooler coverage as we gained market share in sparkling beverages and juices in the quarter. We posted solid top-line growth in local currency terms. Our revenue management initiatives enabled us to selectively increase prices to compensate for higher inflation rates. As Pancho mentioned, we're moving forward with the construction of our new plant in eastern Argentina. Our investments in production and warehousing infrastructure, coupled with our financial and operating discipline, have enabled us to consistently improve our overall profitability. Moving over to Ecuador, volume was up 5% in the quarter. Once again, sparkling and still beverage drove incremental gains of 10.3% and 15.5%, respectively, and confirming the overall sequential improvement trend. We implemented target market initiatives to increase immediate consumption with new affordable presentations using returnable packages to mitigate the impact of the sluggish economy. Tonicorp, our value-added dairy business in Ecuador, jointly owned with the Coca-Cola company, posted solid top and bottom line results. In the third quarter, revenues rose 37.7% on the back of solid market share gains in yogurt, oatmeal, and flavored milk categories. As part of our strategy to develop a closer connection with consumers, this quarter we opened 22 premium ice cream stores in Guayaquil under the Topsy brand. I'm going to close my presentation going over our operation in Peru. Volume in the third quarter rose 7.4%, reaching 66.2 million unit cases, led by strong 17.6% growth in water, 7.7% in other still beverages, and 5.1% in sparkling categories. Solid market share gains in SSDs were driven by successful marketing campaigns, 100 years contour bottle, Share a Coke, and Inca Kola 80-year anniversary. Net sales increased 14.1% in the quarter as a result of price mix initiatives and occasion-based price pack strategies while improving affordability of our products. Local economy has shown modest signs of recovery with real GDP expanding 2.2%. Consumption maintains a steady growth trend and mining production is picking up. We're operating from a unique position of strength to capture this potential growth. We continue deploying tactical actions to improve execution at the point of sale. More than 2,200 coolers were placed ahead of the summer season, expanding coverage to 24.1% nationwide. And with that, I will turn the call to Emilio to go over our financial results.
Thank you, Arturo, and welcome everyone. We appreciate your participation to review our third quarter results in this last conference call for the year. Please note that this quarter's earnings includes 1 month of Corporación Linley results, as we initiated consolidating the company on September 1st. I am happy to inform that our performance in the quarter was outstanding. On the back of better consumption trends, we achieved top and bottom line growth as a result of rolling out our standardized execution model across all of our business units. Improving key metrics and execution at the point of sale, resulting in a better overall financial position, coupled with continuous strong cash flow generation. Consolidated revenues grew 26% in the third quarter and 18% year-to-date, as a result of strong volume growth in all the countries where we operate, a very price mix, and a good performance in the snack division. Comparable currency neutral net revenues increased 13% in both the quarter and 9 months period. As a result of improved consumption trends and an adequate price architecture to match inflation in all of our operations, net sales for North America division grew 11.7% in the quarter, with South America up 71.3% and 46.3% excluding Peru. Year to date, revenues in North America grew up 7.2% and in South America up 53.4%. As we stated in the last conference call, all the initiatives and our hedging strategy implemented to mitigate the impact in COGS of higher prices and the negative exchange rate effect yield good results. Gross margin in the quarter was 48.8%, and without Peru, 49.4%, which is 30 basis points above third quarter 2014. On a cumulative basis, gross margin was 48.7%, 48.9% without Peru, 20 basis points less than previous year. Thanks to our top-line growth, we had a better performance in SG&A expenses as a percentage of sales, down 40 basis points to 30.6% in the quarter. This figure was 31.3% for the first 9 months, which was slightly better than the same period of last year. In the quarter, operating income increased 20.7% for a margin of 17.7%. Year to date, our operating line was up 14.9% for a margin of 17.4%. This quarter, non-recurring expenses increased due to the Lilly transaction. Consolidated EBITDA increased 25.8% to 4.7 billion pesos for a margin of 22.7% and 23.2% without Peru, representing an expansion of 40 basis points. Year to date, EBITDA rose to 12 billion pesos for a margin of 22.2%. In line with our goal for 2015, without taking Peru into account, we have reached the same EBITDA margin as last year. Comparable currency neutral EBITDA increased 17.4% this quarter and 13.9% year to date, cycling 10.3% and 10% increases respectively. Income tax provision for the quarter was 1.1 billion pesos compared to 910 million pesos in the same period of last year. As of September, this line reached 2.7 billion, an increase of 15%. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 32.2%, practically the same level versus last year. The Lilly transaction financing was reflected in the comprehensive cost of financing during the quarter. Therefore, this line item was up 225 million pesos. We registered an extraordinary exchange loss over our U.S. dollar denominated debt as a consequence of the exchange rate at the end of the month, one of the highest in the year. Net income increased 14.1% to 2.1 billion pesos in the quarter, representing a margin of 10.1%. As of September, net income increased 13.5% to 5.6 billion pesos, reflecting a margin of 10.4%. Our balance sheet reflects a strong business financial position. Cash as of September 2015 was 11.7 billion pesos, with debt of 42.8 billion pesos, meaning a 1.0 times net debt to EBITDA coverage ratio, because of the financing and integration of Lindley. Our commitment is to deleverage the balance sheet to maintain a healthy financial position. We plan to close the year with a 1.3 times net debt to EBITDA ratio once we receive the cash inflow from the capital increase. We delivered cash flow for 9.5 billion pesos in the first 9 months of the year, reflecting the solid cash flow generation for the business. Year to date, CapEx investments totaled 4 billion pesos, which went toward strengthening the marketplace, technology applied at the point of sale, and enhancing production and distribution capabilities. We are also very glad to announce that Moody's assigned Arca Continental an A2 rating, a level that motivates and drives us to streamline our financial structure and operating performance in order to continue delivering long-term results and sustainable growth. And with that, I will turn it back to Pancho.
Thank you, Emilio. And in summary, the third quarter results proved to be extraordinary. We were able to deliver solid operational and financial results through a favorable combination of market conditions and our capabilities to serve our markets efficiently, as well as the flexibility to create avenues for additional growth. We are confident that we have the right strategies, the right structure, and talented people with passion and commitment to deliver profitable growth over the long term. As we look ahead, we will continue searching for ways to enhance our leadership in the regions and market we serve. Our sound financial position gives us the capability to continue seeking opportunities for regional expansion and product diversification to drive long-term sustainable growth in beverages, snacks, and value-added dairy products. With that, I turn over to the operator to take the questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by dialing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Lauren Torres with UBS.
Yes, Lauren, I cannot hear anything.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
now.
All right, great, thank you. Pancho, I was hoping you could take the opportunity to talk a little bit more about the opportunities that you see in Peru. You mentioned there's already a start here uncovering some efficiencies and opportunities for value-creating events. I guess I'm just trying to get a better understanding of what you see in Peru. I don't know if you could make a comparison to Mexico or other markets where you feel Peru is, I don't know, lower in the curve, that there are opportunities to bring it up from a volume or margin standpoint. Once again, because this is a new market, how should we view it relative to your existing markets?
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Lauren. It's always a really great pleasure to talk with you. And it's a great question. And, the first thing, just as a general frame, is that the size of the market in terms of, let's say, the population that we are attending there in Peru, it's all the same population that we have in Mexico in our territories. I mean, we are talking about 30 million people. No? However, we sell here, 900 million unit cases, and meanwhile there in Peru, it's less than 300. So you may see, just like analyzing that it's a very similar, let's say, population, that we cannot talk that we can increase 3 times, but the growth potential is there. It's a matter of actions to be taken, and of course economy and time. No? Really the team that is working in Peru is a great team, and they've been really doing very good things in the market. But I'm sure that we can enhance the situation through some practices that we can exchange and obviously that we can learn. I will ask really specifically Arturo to give some more details on what are the main areas that we see to find avenues for growth and create value. Please, Arturo.
Sure. Hi, Lauren. As Pancho was saying, we have assembled a team in Peru, which we call an integration team that works together with the management. The current senior management of Lindley in Peru is really a new team, and they're, I think, pursuing initiatives even before the alliance that make a lot of sense. We're here to probably incorporate new ideas and follow a methodology that it's the same methodology of the Arca Contal merger, actually the same person that was here managing the integration team at the time is now the leader of the integration in Peru. And we have already identified opportunities, which would be basically in areas of raw materials, leveraging our scale with suppliers, and also procurement practices in our regions, not only the strategic procurement, but also the many things that are bought throughout the regions with better practices. And in Mexico, we've learned that there's a lot of efficiency to be captured there. We also are focusing on process innovation and packaging, finding more efficient processes, especially in PET packaging, and supply chain initiatives on the on S&OP and optimizing primary distribution and improving our supply chain indicators, consolidation of administrative processes, and improving our execution as well at the point of sale, introducing more coolers. Cooler coverage, I think, could be improved. Still beverage penetration is another important area that we're going to be pursuing. And in general, the exchange of best commercial practices that would deliver a significant revenue expansion. One of those would be our RGM practices in Mexico, finding the best price pack architecture and the most effective way to give discounts and promotions in the market. I think there's a significant opportunity there. So in general, we've identified that. We're in the process of making the plans, setting the dates and the targets for each of those avenues, also structuring the accountability, the incentives for the people, so that we can be working on that throughout the remainder of this year and 2016 throughout the whole year.
I'm sorry, just as a follow-up, this ACT, this total execution plan that you're deploying, is this, I don't know if it's in relation to Peru coming in your system or there's new fronts on the sales and distribution side of the business that you saw efficiency be gathered. I was just curious on this program, what brought it about and what's different versus what you've been doing on the sales and distribution side?
Well, I would divide it in two big areas. One is our sales and operation planning and our primary distribution. That's one, let's say, big initiative that has many many projects in itself. And the second would be ACT. And ACT relates refers to how we go to the market. It refers to our segmentation process, to our total industry where we divide our clients based on size, potential, opportunity. Then we also evaluate the route-to-market model that balances the best cost to serve with the most effectiveness in the market. It also includes our RGM strategy that we explained, our revenue growth management, pricing, and promotions, and the basic elements of execution that we must ensure with all the customer coverage of key SKUs, out of stocks, what we call Red Global, share of visible inventory, et cetera. So we have a common metric for all of that, and that's what we're rolling out from Mexico to, you know, the rest of our operation, Ecuador, Argentina, and now Peru as well.
Yes. Basically, I would say that compared with other mergers or acquisitions that we have made, in this case, I would say that the synergies in cost are obviously important, but not as important in other cases. So we have to work more closely with the current team to assure that we will really increase our reinforce our position in certain markets, regions, and we have to invest together really to do the right things there. There are some areas in Peru that can be much more developed in terms of market share. There are other categories like, let's say, isotonics, in which really here we were able to really compete against, you know, the one that created that category. And now we have in Mexico, after 8 years of working with Powerade, or 9 years, we have 60-something percent share, which and we really lead that category now. So I don't see any reason why we cannot do the right things there to assure that we can really move ahead and create value in those categories, which are still beverages. But apart from that, just to I mean, there will be savings and value creation and so on, as we mentioned, and we will measure, as always, very clear. No? And the running rate by the end of next year should be in the level of $25 million or more. But the most important part is that once we are in Peru, we will have further opportunities in other categories, no? And another potential acquisitions there that can strengthen our position in that market to really create more value, you know? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eventually, we will talk about that more in detail. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernando Ferreira with Bank of America.
Thank you. Thanks for the question and congratulations on the call of the quarter. Just have a few questions. First one in Mexico. I mean, we saw impressive volume performance, but can you give us some sense how your market share performed in the key categories in the CSDs and non-CSDs, please?
Yes, Fernando, thank you for your question. It's going to be a pleasure to mention all what we are doing in beverages. Please, Arturo.
Sure. In Mexico, as you say, we had a very, very good quarter. In terms of the market share, we are fairly stable on the Nielsen channels. Year over year, we have a slight decrease on SSDs, and we're growing significantly on the still beverages. And we have a good recent trend on even on Nielsen channels. And what you can see is that we're growing significantly in other channels that are not measured through that metric, like the you know, at work and the entertainment and some of the on-premise channels. So we're fairly stable in that regard. And some of the still beverage categories have been performing really well, especially the main ones. Juices and nectars are growing you know, almost 2 points in a year to date. The fruit still drinks, Valle Fruit is also growing its share in the year-to-date, and Powerade, as Pancho was mentioning, is growing more than 6 points in the year. So we're doing really well in the categories that have the bigger opportunity. And we are now doing some, tactical promotions with the returnables, particularly in the multi-serve, just to protect our share as we enter the final quarter of the year.
Yes, so what is clear is that in terms of soft drinks, we have a relatively stable situation. But the most important opportunity area is really the share and volume development in the still beverages. That doesn't mean that we are not paying attention to soft drinks, of course. It's really the core, and we take care of that very carefully. But, I mean, the growth potential is coming more from those new beverages or new areas, because we are definitely growing share, and in practically most of the cases leading the category, no, Arturo?
That's right, in most of them. Yes.
Most of them leading the category. That's very important in our territory, so sure.
Great, thank you. And then if I may, Pancho, I mean, when you look at the opportunity at Lindley, right, what do you think, I mean, how relevant can this business become? I mean, where do you see margins potentially growing into? Is it a 20% business in your mind? I mean, how do you think about that?
Well, let me just remind you that when we entered in Argentina, for instance, we, at that time, about 7 years ago or something like that, no? And we increased gradually. I mean, it's difficult to do it from one day to the other. But I remember that at that time we were really probably, if not the lowest, one of the lowest margins there in that country. Today we have 17 or 18% margin, so EBITDA sales, and we some months we have even better. So the point is that. Same happening in Ecuador, which we are in the level of around 18 or 19%. So I would say that in the case of Peru, which is now in the 15% level, something like that, should be in that level eventually, you know, in the level of 18% to 19%. And there will be some savings in costs, especially most several of them were already planned by the Pukusana plant, which is just a brand new plant there that started up 2-3 weeks ago. So it will take time to really realize those savings, as was mentioned by Arturo, in some of them related to more automatic processes like inline blowing and more efficient. Some other ones will be coming from costs, certainly related to raw materials in terms of leveraging our situation that we have with our current partners in the supply side, and so on and so forth. But market prices management and portfolio and assure that the right discounts and so on is going to be the most important area of opportunity to increase a margin there soon.
Great. Thank you, Pancho.
Thank you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luca Cipicio with Goldman Sachs.
Good morning, Pancho, Arturo, Emilio, everyone. Thank you, and congratulations on the quarter. I wanted to ask a question about acquisitions or consolidation going forward. Pancho, you made reference to the opportunities that may come up in Peru as you enter that market. But I was also wondering, this transaction, does it change anyhow, you know, how you think about other or bigger opportunities in the future and from a regional perspective? And also, you know, to go back to one discussion that was addressed in the past, we've seen Coca-Cola setting up in the U.S. this new entity, the National Product Supply System, a few weeks ago, and I think it seems clear now that, you know, in the rare franchise, production would be involved. This was a point that I think was debated several times. So even in relation to this, how, you know, your position changes or evolves, or what type of opportunities you may continue to see there, even considering this more recent large transaction that you've done in Peru.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Really, you're worth thinking in the future. And I appreciate really a lot your question. Well, first of all, I would like to say that we need to, you know how we are. We are very prudent in terms of the way we move. That doesn't mean that we are not moving agile. We are an agile company. We definitely move. But we really are prudent, which means that, first of all, we want to consolidate what we have done in terms of the process, culture, and integrate in the best manner, only in the way we like to integrate, which is respecting many things, and of course people, and ensure that we will create the value there in Peru and reinforce the processes that we have in place in the rest of our operations. So it means that we cannot move immediately to the next step. We have to. Even we know what are the next steps, so at least we know what we want in the next steps. I'm not sure if that will happen or not, but we have the plan, no? I mean, the board of directors diligently take care of the view for the future and with the right guidance in that regard. Having said that, that we need time, of course, and focus on what we have today. We definitely think that our presence there in South America has been reinforced. We have, in Peru, the fortune of having very good people also, talented people, so we can enhance our position to continue moving ahead in this process of acquisitions or mergers. Certainly, having money up to now, fortunately, is not a limitation, because the debt that we currently have will be diminished soon by the, let's say, Lindley integration into AC Holding Company. So, and also other actions. So definitely in terms of financial position, we have that chances to continue moving ahead. But even today, it's very healthy position anyway, but we'll be even healthier, the financial position. But besides that, the most important part is the talent. And we are fortunate that we are developing here in Tehran our talent, and we are having more people now in Peru that will enhance this position of talented people that can really help us to continue moving ahead. Normally, the main limitation in a business like this is to have the right people. Fortunately, we are moving well in that direction, and this alliance or merger acquisition, what they want to count on the Peruvian business, is reinforcing that. So both sides, financial, people, and Coca-Cola support and trust relationship, it's in very good shape to continue moving in the next steps. So my point is, it's going to be an opportunity there in Peru or in that region or in dairy. Or, of course, I mean, we know that there are some potential possibilities of, and we've been in contact with some of them in snacks, in dairy, in vending, by the way, in Peru, in other areas close to that place. In, so not only in soft drinks, but also in dairy and certainly in the commercial side, talking about the retail, which is vending, there are plenty of opportunities. Are there other ones around? Well, I just want to mention something, just that to really capitalize those opportunities to invest in that region, we will have, of course, the support of the Lindley family, especially in Peru or in the Andean region. They have very good relationship, and of course, they are very well committed. They've been very well committed since ever to the Peruvian community and market, so they are very well connected and respected people. So that's another leverage that we have there. Now, another partner that will help us in that. But having said that, we know there are opportunities in Peru, in those areas of dairy snacks as well as vending, and in regions, I'm talking about other Coca-Cola bottling operation, but that probably will take more time, but we will see what else we can do in that regard with other possibilities. We are always open to analyze an opportunity to create value there. And every day there are less and less bottlers, of course. I mean, it's part of the consolidation process that is happening worldwide. But no matter what, there could be some chances, of course, to either, we are always flexible to be, to acquire, to create other opportunities like merging or joint venturing, which is different. No? Joint venture, mergers, acquisition, alliances, so we are flexible as long as we create value long-term to our shareholders and obviously serving every day better the market. And in connection with Coca-Cola, of course, respecting the alignment with them. So, I don't know if I answer you. Talking about U.S., of course, well, that's a process, no? We obviously closely follow the reports, no, and communication from Coca-Cola Company about U.S. refranchising. So to be prepared when the time comes and the value of business model proposed adequately, no? We are obviously very respectful of Coca-Cola times, and we will be, we expect to be considered, no, by Coca-Cola as one of the opportunities there, no? Because certainly we have the scale, we have commercial best practices in the market, we have a financial sound position, a proximity to the U.S. southern states, 25 years operating in that country with Topo Chico, and now several years also with snacks. So, and most importantly, we have the really the support and trust of Coca-Cola. but we should respect really the time and the way they are doing this process, and certainly then I'm sure that we could be an opportunity in this way. No?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the high volume of questions on today's call, please limit yourselves to one question. Thank you. Our next question comes from Benjamin Thurer with Barclays.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So first of all, congratulations on the good results. I will limit it to one question, and that one question is, do you have an explanation for the strong sales in CSD and COLA segment across the board, but in specific in the Mexican region where the numbers were really surpassing everything we've seen in the first 6 months? And if you could guide us a little bit of what you're expecting to see into the fourth quarter, so just to get more clarity on those volumes. Thanks.
Thank you, Benjamin. So you are referring to the reasons of the strong sales in soft drinks, especially colas in Mexico, and the expectation, right?
Correct.
Please answer you.
Yeah, hi, Benjamin. I keep telling Pancho that it's us, the team, in Mexico, but really there are many factors.
And I try to believe.
No,
certainly we have.
There are many factors that actually align pretty well in this quarter, I would say. We have to admit that we had good weather. We had much less rain and a little more temperature than the previous quarter. But we did have, you know, the increase in volume in some key channels. I mentioned like entertainment on premise, they're growing at a higher rate, even the at work, which also signal, you know, a recovery of consumption and of disposable income. We see that in employment in some of our regions, especially in some of the regions where we operate. I mentioned remittances and wages recovering at a faster pace than inflation this year, which is something not very typical. So those factors certainly come into play. But we try to, you know, divide in our model the three different things that that relate to volume. One are those, you know, externalities relating to weather and the economy. Second is our pricing and RGM strategy, our overall strategy in the way we segment the market and our, you know, very effective in our price moves and especially our discounts to the market where we take more advantage of that. I think we've learned how to do it better as we go along. And third, which is also important to mention, is that we have a significant improvement in our indicators of operation, not only in terms of our OVPPC pricing strategies, but also we've been rolling out the standardized execution model that we mentioned. We have improved execution in the three channels that we measure, the on-premise, the modern channel, the traditional. They're all growing significantly for the year. We're leveraging our segmentation capabilities. We're taking that to the next level, not just measuring the size of the outlet, but the potential. Some outlets were small in our previous segmentation model, but they were small for us because they were selling more of the competitors, for example. We have also standardized our service model indicators, which is how many customers we visit per day in each of the models, where we take orders, the time we spend in the market. We're being much more rigorous, particularly this year, in those, and they are certainly improving. Same as introduction of coolers. We've introduced more than 40,000 coolers. That certainly gives you a boost in volume. So there are a number of things in the market that we believe we're doing well, and that we're, in a way, harvesting things that we've done in the past. Now that, you know, the economy is showing signs of recovery, I think that is what explains the good volumes in the third quarter. And as we go forward, I think, they're not going to combine perfectly, especially in terms of weather, which is, you know, a short-term factor, but we're confident that we're going to continue growing in the fourth quarter and next year, based on what I said.
One important thing just to mention is that we definitely have our territories in Mexico in a good locations. I think the aerospace industry and on the electronics and home appliances, exports and combination, auto parts and so on, is developing quite well, plus other industries, no? And I believe that that some, those advantages, and in the future, I'm sure the energy sector, that today probably is not the best time, I'm not sure, but eventually that will change, and we are located in a territory in which there are plenty of energy places to be explored and really to produce on that. So I'm sure that that makes a long-term sense for us.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luis Miranda with Santander.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Good morning. Ancho, Arturo, you know, my question is regarding to the Mexican pricing environment. You're seeing the strength, the efficiency of all the variables you have mentioned. Does this give you opportunity to become a little bit more aggressive in pricing in the short to medium term? Thank you.
Thank you, Luis. Really interesting question always, eh? I think pricing is moving quite well, obviously through the portfolio and not only one product and not only one place. And so segmentation is a critical factor as well as the portfolio, and I will ask Arturo to give more color on this regard.
Yes. Hi, Luis. Well, first of all, I mentioned that this year has been very good in terms of pricing. We've increased prices above inflation, and that's the expectation for the whole year. So this is something that we were not able to do in the past, and I think we've taken advantage of both the current situation and our enhanced capabilities in terms of pricing. That's really important. As we go forward, we plan to continue to do that, maybe not necessarily above inflation, but at least keeping pace with inflation as we anticipated for next year. So we're already considering some adjustments, which are, you know, very, very segmented, as we've been doing up to now, for the rest of the year that would certainly carry over for 2016. We already have some of those that are going to carry over for 2016. But let me mention one other important thing in terms of the net pricing is that we've been much more effective in terms of discounts and promotions in the last, let's say, year and a half. I think our capabilities have been increased, and if we see the rate of discounts, which obviously affect our net price and our per case income, have improved significantly. I think there might be some opportunity there, and, you know, as Pancho mentioned before, that's an opportunity also in some other markets where probably we have not matured those capabilities as much. So we're confident that we are on the right track. And also, one other thing is that as we grow the mix of some of the still beverages, also that gives us the opportunity to maintain very good per case prices for next year as well.
That's for sure. And I will add, Arturo, that we have the leadership, as I mentioned, in all practically all categories, no? So having that in place, I would say that we can influence more the prices, no? But we should take care, obviously, of continually in those categories. So it's a balance, no? But an important aspect is that it's not only the price per se. It's discounts, as was mentioned by Arturo. It's really the mix. It's really the mix in terms of packages or regions or portfolio, and how to manage that to really try to have a good price increase. And Arturo is now, I mean, the people of Arturo also developing what we call the big data systems to really analyze more in detail what are the promotions that make sense or not. So we developed already a capability here, or we are in the process of developing, I don't want to sound too arrogant on that, but on this big data, it's really very important, no? To really see what, with very good statistics, profound, professional people, statistics, really check what really value we can create through that, and if not, try to diminish that activity or orientate in the right manner. You know, same with investments. Is really a shelf of on a room temperature giving me more results or not? If not giving, if it's not providing really any plus, and we check that in more detail, we can diminish also cost in that regard. or invest more if it makes sense, no? So this capability of our tool is something that is very important, and I congratulate what you're doing that.
Perfect. Thank you, Pancho. Thank you, Arturo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. Just very quickly on the Lindy transaction. First, would you be looking to hedge the dollar-denominated debt or cancel that debt eventually, or would you keep the debt till maturity? And B, can you comment at all whether there's any willingness to buy the rest of Lindy that you haven't bought? So is there any timing and or valuation that you can talk about? I understand that the Coca-Cola company has a stake in Lindy as well, no? So you can comment whether there's been any conversations with the Coca-Cola company in that respect. That would be great. Thank you.
Sorry, how are you, Antonio? Good to talk with you, eh? But I understood very well the first question related to the debt, talking of hedge or the level that we are going to have and so on, no? But the second one is, it's related to the question on what Coca-Cola is going to do with the shares they have in the Corporación Lindley. Is that your question?
Yeah, the question is if you would like to buy the rest of Lindley that you have not already bought, and specifically if there's been any conversation already with the Coca-Cola company, whether they would like to sell those shares or not.
Well, obviously, I will ask first the hedge answer, please, on this debt, which is something that we are working hard on reducing that. Please, Emilio.
Sure. Thank you, Antonio, for your question. Regarding the debt of Lindy, which is $580 million in two U.S. bonds, right now we have already a currency hedge for $100 million. Out of those 580, and as you mentioned, we are analyzing either two options. One, either to swap that to Nuevos Soles or part of that debt, because all of that is right now in U.S. dollars. Besides the 100 million currency hedge that we already have. And the other option is to refinance it to have a longer term, because right now we have a debt on 2020 and 2021. So we're looking for both. We're analyzing both options to have a longer term and to swap it to Nuevo Sol. But we don't have yet the answer.
What is important related to the debt, just to mention, Tony, is that, first of all, we have a very good financial position, extremely good financial position. No? So, second one, it's clear that we are going to reduce that debt to a much more lower levels of leverage, okay? And then the rest of this, if you're going to hedge or not hedge, We are hedging obviously with the capitalization of the future capitalization of our friends that our partners.
Yeah, that now that you're mentioning, Pancho, I was just talking about the debt that we have in Peru, mm-hmm. But the debt that we acquired when we acquired the transaction. Yeah,
okay.
I think that's important because we had a big hit on the exchange rate because of the debt. We borrow $910 million for this transaction. So by the end of the month, we have a huge exchange rate of 17.8 pesos. So that's why we see in a loss in the exchange rate loss that I mentioned in the speech. Then by the end of the year, we will reduce that debt, that $910 million, $400 that we will receive when the Lindy family purchased the AC shares, and with our cash, we'll reduce that to $350 million from 910 to 350. So the ratio that we see right now of 1.7 is really for a few months. By the end of this year, we're expecting to have that ratio lowered to 1.3 times, okay? And then that remaining debt of $350 million, the first half of next year, we will change that U.S. dollar debt for pesos for a long-term peso debt. So that's basically what we're planning to do with that debt. And by the end of next year, our net debt to EBITDA ratio, what we expect is going to be around 1. So for 1.7 right now, we will reduce it to 1.3 by the end of the year. And for next year, 1. And for basically with all this debt or the remaining debt in pesos.
We really appreciate it. You know how conservative is Emilio, no? To mention this, I think it's probably better the situation, no, than that. But I agree that being on a conservative basis, that will be the process. And regarding Peru, that you may understand also that we have already cash because the Lille agreement, they had to pay some debt and something like that, that they were there. So we have about $90 million in cash at this time, and there will be other actions regarding the non-productive assets, things that we already announced. So definitely the situation even in Peru, it's improving and great, no? To have chances to invest further in the market, what is important, no? And talking about, you made two questions. but let me go to the second question. I already mentioned at the beginning of my speech that we are going to offer to acquire, or that the purpose, let's say, to acquire in the short term, once we finalize with internal corporate approvals, the so-called investment shares. No? That's something at the same price to everyone, no? Including that the one that we are going to buy also from the Lindley family. So everyone will be treated the same way at 89 U.S. cents per share, okay? So we will find the mechanism and so on, but that's one part. And regarding the rest, we are open to analyze that. Right now, as you know, we are focused on finishing the deal process regarding the equity increase of our friends and the family, Lindley family partners, to increase in AC, no, in ACA Continental, no? So that's something clear. And what Coca-Cola is going to do? Well, it's another question, so you put several questions on the same line. Well, it's something that at this time, they are really always open to talk, and as we are, and nothing clear is mentioned in that regard. In due time, we will announce what is going to happen. For the time being, again, we are dedicated to integrate the operation. We have the trust of Coca-Cola that we have to dedicate our efforts to that. And of course, to complete the financial transaction regarding the equity increase from that we are going to do through the shareholders meeting that we have to do, of course, to put also the family, Lindley family, into our ARCA Continental holding operation. Thank you.
Understood. Just if you can clarify this, Pancho, the Coca-Cola company does not have the venture, right? sorry about that.
No, but it's because there are other three in line.
The Coca-Cola company does not have investment shares, right? They have the voting shares, right?
Well, a very small amount of the other so-called investment shares, okay?
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sorry,
our next
but we came all at once.
My apologies.
No.
Our next question.
No, okay. Yes, please. Next question.
Comes from Miguel Mayorga with GBM.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. It's a quick one. I was wondering if you could share with us how much, in regard on Lindley acquisition, how much CAPEX of your consolidated CAPEX is expected to be focused solely into Lindley? Thank you.
Well, thank you. Miguel. Well, just to mention, regarding the plants and infrastructure, it's not needed because, I mean, we have now a new plant that we just started up, so it will be practically very small amounts regarding the infrastructure, no? Probably some distribution centers in that regard, which is the plan that they have already in place to continue optimizing the network for distribution. But the most important investment that we're going to have is really in the market, no? I'm talking about the coolers,
cold drink equipment and returnable bottle introduction. I think those would be the
most important.
Some of the logistics distribution centers
and of course IT, no? So, but infrastructure, it's really well prepared, especially with this new plan that we just started up. So it's coolers, returnable bottles, and IT, I would say, mostly.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citi.
Hi, everybody. Thanks. The one question is just back on the Mexican volumes. The 7% number, quite hefty indeed for the quarter, and as you point out, some of the drivers in your comments. But when you look at the jug business, it seems to have really had a hockey stick quarter here. Getting 9% growth, the comps look, very reasonable, and I guess the jugs alone seem to account for almost a quarter of the quarter's growth. I mean, was there a initiative or some dynamic that you can perhaps help us to understand? I mean, it's a step change in the growth when you think of the first 9 months. Is this a new level? So that is the question. But I could just, the final confirmation of what you said in the prior quarter, just to confirm that it's still correct, this is the last month of the partial hedges, and I guess to understand the FX hedges then will roll off this month. In November, we will have no more FX hedges. So that's more of a confirmation. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alex. It's good to talk with you. I hope to see you soon. Eh? And if not, here, there. Please,
okay.
Arturo, would you please answer?
Hi, Alex. With respect to jug water, we indeed had a 9% volume growth in the third quarter. In a year-to-date, it's a 2.7%. It's a significant improvement, especially from the first half of the year. We've increased some market share, maybe less than 1 point. In general, I think the market is growing, the market for, branded jugs, and our results are, to a great extent, based on the incorporation of new customers. That's an activity where we focused in the first half of the year, especially in the up and down the street channel and in some of the at work, where most of the increase comes from those two channels, and that is a result of those customers maturing in the last few months. The at-home channel did increase its volume. It's about 5%, a little bit less than 5% in the quarter. And modern trade also increases. They all perform better, but it's mostly resulting from the incorporation of customers based on the strategy. I think we mentioned that in a previous call about how we were focusing on that, prospecting new customers, especially in the traditional and the what we call the industry channel. So we still have targets to continue increasing that and basically leveraging what we have through the rest of our beverages as we go to the mom and pops. And we have, as you know, the Siglo and Juno program, for example, where we take advantage of that and we make sure that we bring the jugs together with our full proposal of a total beverage company. That's been working in the up and down the street channel very effectively. So we're going to continue doing that, and now we're going to be a little bit more aggressive on the at-home channel, also increasing the coverage that we currently have. And I will turn it to Emilio for the second part.
Sure. Hello, Alex. Regarding the hedges, the currency hedges, as you know, Alex, we are really conservative on this matter. We basically hedge 80% of our needs for raw materials, and the other 20% is we have a natural hedge of our U.S. operations. And we have hedged, as we mentioned last time, from August to December. So we have basically covered the rest of the year starting August. So we have hedged the rest of the year.
Even December, right?
Even December.
So it's good, I think. I mean, what the exchange rate that we have there?
Oh, well, it's around 1550.
So we were fortunate to be really well prepared in ahead, no? So we are having a very good committee for analysis of risks and raw materials here that have special, really, discussions on this every month, no?
No, fair enough. And just to make it clear, so first quarter, there are no hedges. Is that a fair assumption?
For next year, we started hedging part of that. We have a partial part of the first quarter already hedged.
Obviously not at that exchange rate. We have the 16.4, 16.7. But we are taking care. We are following a disciplined process, analytical, and having the right people involved to make this kind of decision for certainly raw materials, basically. So we are not, let's say, complicating our life anymore in other areas. But what is important also, Alex, is that we are very fortunate also having a good position in terms of balancing dollars. And so because we have WISE, we have this the exports to the States, which is growing very fast, by the way.
Ecuador
is in dollars. So we have really a relatively good balance in general, compared to what, and most of the raw materials are also in Mexico, so integrated, as you know. So we have to take care of that, of course. But even without having really these hedges, we will have a very quite reasonable position anyway. So, but fortunately, we've been able to cover very well our position until December, and now we are moving with a disciplined system for the first quarter of next year.
Got it. Fair enough. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mauricio Serna with J.P. Morgan.
Hi. Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. Just wondering if you could provide us a little bit more insight into Argentina. I mean, we saw the volumes decelerating this quarter, and we're wondering, like, what is your outlook given after the election taking place this quarter? And also, do you expect to continue to be able to do pricing in line with inflation in the country into 2016? Thanks.
Well, thank you, Mauricio. Well, just let me give you a general frame, and I will pass this to Arturo, no? But before that, just to mention that we don't have any debt in dollars or anyone. We basically don't have debt, let's say, in financial debt in Argentina, or the debt that we have is very small, no? And it's in pesos, Argentinian pesos, and with a very low interest rate, promotional interest rates. Second one, it's important to say that our pricing has been in line with real inflation. I mean, we know what is about the real inflation level, no? And certainly, our raw materials is also in Argentinian pesos. So we are not exposed in terms of our COGS or our cost of goods sold. We are not exposed in raw materials, and we are not exposed in financial area. We are very well, in a very good position in that regard. But more importantly is that we've been investing also in machinery to modernize plants and very efficient systems, and we can manage also returnable bottles. So in any area of challenging economy, that will really protect our market very well, because we have the investment and the facilities to do the right things in that regard, as well as in the cooler coverage and so on and so forth. So in general, the frame is that what we have done, and it's very positively, and we don't see a major challenge regarding to our position that we have. And certainly this change of the government, I think it will definitely bring new ideas to continue moving into the right direction. I think Argentinian country is really a country that does not have financial debt, basically. So once the country moves into the financial markets eventually, it's a very strong country. I mean, no debt. So, because certainly at this time liquidity is very important and they don't have debt. And it's a good country in terms of level of the people, education is great, and also commodities, even the commodities are at this time somehow challenging. But they have energy, they have obviously food, they have everything, so, and very, very well educated and prepared people, so, and population. So I think that it's a great opportunity for the future, more than a complicated future we have. And we were able to manage this situation in a complicated times to increase margins, and even this year we have increased the margin. So summarizing, no dollar exposure, very well managed the prices on real inflation, margins improved, and good operations prepare and investments to really face any challenge in terms of the economy and good people there. And the country, summarizing, it's a good country. People get concerned about the country. Oh, well, everything is relative, but I think there are many, many opportunities in that country. Well located, well positioned in terms of energy, commodities, and so on, no debt, eventually will be open to other financial systems, and with no debt, tremendous opportunity to grow with well-educated and prepared population. So I'm glad that we are part of Argentina. But talk about the volumes and things like that, because it's something that probably will get a flavor of today, because today is somehow only passing through a potential complicated system.
Right. There's obviously signs of a deceleration on growth and spending in the market. Despite that, you know, salary increases in Argentina have been in par with inflation, and that is a good thing for our business. We are really optimistic about anything that any outcome of the elections will really put the country in the right track for growth in 2016 and further. We're continuing to do, as Pancho said, things that we've been doing in terms of leveraging returnable packs and our RGM capabilities, especially maintaining stability among channels in our prices and coping with inflation. And adding to that, we are also increasing our cold beverage availability. It's really important. And our also a portfolio of still drinks. That's a big opportunity in Argentina, even under the current environment. It's given us significant growth. And also we have tactical plans to increase our market share in some of the regions, again, using our returnables, which have given us very good preliminary results, and we're going to continue to leverage that.
Well, thank you, Mauricio. I don't know if that answers your question.
Okay. I was wondering, pretty much like the outlook, still, you still expect some kind of growth of volumes next year, regardless of, you know, maybe a depreciation of the currency.
Yes, we still see opportunity for growth. We're working on the plan for next year. We don't have specifics for that. But based on these opportunities and what's going on in this last few months, we still believe there's an opportunity to continue growing the business in our regions. Market share, by the way, is improving also. We have still room there. Our share is in the low 60-61% in SSDs and 50% in total NARTD. So there's a big opportunity.
Tremendous opportunity. We are growing very fast with really all the steel beverages and also and certainly the opportunity to increase market share in 5, 6, 7 points in the next coming. And we are coming from 50 now. We have 61.2, but we should reach a better level in soft drinks. But certainly the other beverages will bring more opportunity to grow. And regarding what's going to happen with the exchange rate, but I will ask to ask you what you think about it, because you are the financial person. I'm really operational guy. But what I can tell you is that I'm not concerned about it, because really we don't have any debt or exposed to raw materials. And so what is going to happen? Well, it's something that there are several versions of the different people. Some people say it's going to be gradual. Other people think it's going to be more rapid. But it's opinion, because I don't believe in those projections, because nobody knows. I have seen projections in Mexico of that we are going to come to 14 again just 3 months ago. So really it's difficult to understand. I would like to be economist, really, because you can say one day one number, another day another number. And we respect that, but it's complicated to be forecasting that kind of thing. This is true. But we are prepared.
Thanks,
Thank you very much, Mauricio. I appreciate that. Eh?
Congratulations on the result.
Thank you very much, Mauricio. I appreciate that. Again.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions, and I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Well, thanks for all of you for participating in this conference call and for your continued interest and support and commitment to our company. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. So have a good day and a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.